Welcome to another message from LifePoint Church, located in Valley Center, Kansas. For more information, please go to our website at lpcag.org. It is our prayer to invest in generations to influence community. And now, here is today's message.
I hope you got your cup of coffee and maybe a refill. Maybe a bowl of golden grams, and most importantly, you got your Bible and you're ready to dive into the Word of God this morning. I'm so excited to look at this text. It's amazing to me that months ago when I just felt prompted to preach out of or preach through the Gospel of Mark, lo and behold, how, you know, coming to this portion of Scripture today, no way could I have planned that we would be in the middle of a pandemic. And the text today is dealing with a pandemic, if you will, that had affected an individual. And so we're going to dive into Scripture today and learn of a man that was had experienced an infectious disease himself, coming into contact with Jesus and the impact that had on his life. Just a reminder, as we get going this morning, Mark is a fast-paced gospel. It's moving really quickly. Key word throughout the gospel is immediately. Mark, most scholars believe that Mark got his content from Peter's messages and teachings that Peter would have. And so he's recounting all that Jesus did, sharing with us and how powerful it is that here we sit 2,000 years later dealing with a pandemic, and Mark's addressing Jesus' encounter with a man that suffered from leprosy. So really, this account that we're seeing today is kind of Dolby surround sound, if you will. It's found in three of the four Gospels, and so Matthew 8 shares this account. It's right after Jesus preaches his Sermon on the Mount. He's made his way down off the mountainside after preaching this incredible message, dropping the mic, entering back into Galilee, and he comes into contact with an individual. Look at it, if you will. Mark chapter 1, verse 40, it says this, "And the leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling, said to him, 'If you will, you can make me clean.' Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him, and said to him, 'I will, be clean.' And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean." I want to talk to you for the next few moments about the willingness of Jesus. If you're looking for a sermon title, that can be your title. But the willingness of Jesus, you look at this text, and Jesus is willing. Perhaps you find yourself in a place right now, and the circumstances of life have put you in a desperate place. Maybe people look at your life and from the outside, they would say, man, they look like they're navigating the situation that they find themselves in really well. But inside, internally, you feel like you're in a desolate place. As a leper was dealing with the issues of his disease, there are many that come with leprosy. He comes to Jesus and he asks Jesus this question, if you're willing. Jesus was willing, and he's willing now. He's willing to come to you, willing to work in our life, willing to take our place. Jesus is willing. Look at it, if you were will. Verse 40 says, "And the leper came to him." Let me ask you a question this morning as you look at that simple phrase, whether you're a follower of Jesus or maybe you're not, maybe you don't even believe in God. If I could ask you this question, if you're not a follower of Jesus, if you don't believe in God, let me ask you this question. Do you want, if there was a God, would you want God to do something in your life? Everything that God wants to do in our life starts with us coming to Jesus. We have to come to Jesus to receive from Jesus. Let me illustrate it this way, if I can. I know in our church there are several Kansas City Chief fans. I'm still praying for you, but there's many of you, and I know you're still celebrating your Super Bowl victory, which I'm happy for you. But let me just pretend, say Mike and Joe Stevens, they're incredible Chief, they're loud and proud Chief fans, all right? Let's say that they went to the Super Bowl back in February. They had the opportunity to go and take that all in, and they came back, and I was like, hey, Mike and Joe, tell me about your experience. And they would probably start in, and they'd say, oh, man, from the get-go, the moment we got off the plane, got down to where the stadium area, the traffic was crazy. But man, I tell you what, Steve, the exhaust never smelt so better because we were going to the Super Bowl to celebrate or to cheer on the Chiefs. And we got in there and it was crowded and it was just filled with anticipation. And the hot dogs, oh man, the food, the $8, $9 hot dogs, oh, they tasted so good. In fact, we're going to have them for Thanksgiving dinner this year because they were just so good. And the $11 Coke, that fizz in the back of your throat after for 11 bucks, man, that was just the best. And we were around fans. We didn't even know. But, man, Mike's like, hey, I was chest bumping some guy that was painted red. I didn't even know who he was. But it was just that we got to the third quarter, and it was just like the roof went off. And Chief Kingdom came to the scene, and we dominated, and they just unpacked it, and I felt like I was there with Mike and Joe as they were telling me this story. And a little bit later that afternoon, I'm still with them, and maybe we're out getting some coffee or whatever, and someone walks up to our table and says, hey, you know who's picked to go back to the Super Bowl and to win the Super Bowl next year, right? It's the Chiefs. In fact, I'm so confident they're going to go. I've already purchased some tickets. I have two tickets. I want to give them to you because I know as a Bronco fan, you would just love to go watch the Chiefs, right? And I'd be like, man, that's pretty awesome. Thank you for your generosity. But my two friends here, they were just there. They went to the Super Bowl. They told me all about it. They told me about the $11 Coke that just sits in the back of your throat fizzing so well and the hot dogs and the smells and just everything. And I really feel like I don't need to go because they told me what their experience was like. But so thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your generosity. But my friends described it. I'm good. Hearing about something isn't the same as experiencing something, is it? If the leper would have said, you know, I've heard about Jesus, I've heard about his miracles, I've heard about his teachings, I've heard about his impact on people's lives, but he never came to Jesus, he would have never experienced what he experienced that day. See, you have to come to Jesus to receive the grace of Jesus, to receive the love of Jesus, to receive the acceptance of Jesus. If the leper would have never came to Jesus, he would have never received from Jesus. You can't sit back, you can't cross your arms and say, hey, you know, I'm just going to sit here until God does something. We have to step towards him. Let me give you just some historical understanding of what's going on here. Realize the leper coming to Jesus is a lot harder than it sounds. Maybe you're like, well, you know, my grandma, she can come to Jesus. Pastor Nathaniel can come to Jesus. He's worked with kids at LifePoint for over 10 years. And man, if anyone knows Jesus, it has to be him because he puts up with at least my kids. He's in good with Jesus, but me, there's no way. I know my past. I know I've made some bad decisions. I don't feel like I can come, Steve. Understand the text. A leper came. Lepers don't come. Lepers are unclean. Think of some of the feelings maybe that you've had with this COVID-19 situation that we've experienced. Maybe you've been out in public and you were eating a peanut or something and it went down the wrong pipe and you started coughing and everyone like looks at you, or you sneeze and everyone, it's like someone kicked an anthill and everyone just scatters to get away from you. Get out of my 6-foot bubble, right? Leprosy isn't just a basic skin disease. It's not like psoriasis or athlete's foot, or it's not like warts or eczema. It's not like the day before your wedding or you're seeing your pictures and you woke up and you had a big new pimple on the side of your cheek. It's not like that. Leprosy, or what has now been called Hansen's disease, damages the nerves in the cooler parts of your body. So your fingertips, your toes, your ears, your nose. And that skin, that area can become numb. It'll begin to fall off, begin to rot. There's a smell to it. And so you can only imagine. You lose the sense of touch, the sense of feeling, and the pain and the stigma of the disease. If that wasn't bad enough, it's even worse. What's even worse is the psychological or the emotional pain and trauma that that would bring. Because it caused isolation for the victim. The Bible had prescribed a quarantine from the rest of society. You can read about it in Leviticus 13. But the lepers were less outcast from the rest of society, the kind of people most healthy people would want to distance themselves from. Again, you can read more in Numbers chapter 5 about it, but touching a leper was forbidden. And most people who would have been around them would have been revolted by them. And so the leper had to be thinking, I can't come to Jesus because I'm unclean. Josephus, who is a Jewish historian, would refer to lepers as walking dead men. This leper moves to Jesus. As the leper moves from his camp outside of the community, outside of population, and steps towards where Jesus is at, knowing that the rejection of the crowd was almost certain, as he's probably approaching Jesus, as he's stepping into the town, the community would have been beginning to yell, unclean, unclean, and you would have seen the ant pile get kicked and people moving away, scattering away from him. And he had to be thinking, as I step towards Jesus, as I make my way towards him, is he going to reject me too? Is he going to ignore me? Is he going to call to me, hey, you're unclean, get away from me? He would have been thinking, I'm a leper, it's who I am. I just can't go up to people, especially someone like Jesus. And think about it, the very thing that he needed, Jesus to heal in his life, was the very thing that had the potential of keeping him away from Jesus. I think about that, and it still happens today. The enemy of your soul, Satan, wants to keep you where you're at. He will use the very thing that you need Jesus to touch you in your life. He will use that thing to keep you away from Jesus. He'll use your past. Man, I've done things, I've said things that make me feel disqualified from coming to Jesus. The enemy will use your past to keep you from Jesus. He'll use addictions. I know I need to come to Jesus. I know I need deliverance from alcohol or whatever, a drug or pornography or whatever the fix is, or anger. And those things become the very things that will keep you from Jesus. They're not bigger than Jesus, but they'll be a barrier if we allow them to be. Maybe you struggle with just brokenness and just bitterness, a bitter spirit because of something that transpired in your life. The enemy will use that to keep you from Jesus. But the leper came to Jesus because Jesus wants him to come. I think of John chapter 6, verse 37. It says, whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. In Matthew chapter 11, a life verse of mine, verse 28 says this, and Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The leper comes and asks a question. If you will, you can make me clean. In other words, I know you can, but I'm just not sure if you want to. Have you ever felt the sensation of time standing still? It's when really it's kind of like your brain is playing a trick on you when your adrenaline amps up because of a situation and suddenly everything around you begins to slow down. You're able to absorb so much and take in so much more information and sights and sounds and it's just like slowing down. It has that perception of slowing down. It's really not, but the adrenaline makes you feel like it is. It's kind of like, you know, that first kiss. Okay, here is the moment. I'm gonna kiss her because I think I really like her. And you lean in, and that lean in feels like it takes forever. And then you get to the lips on your wedding day, because it only happens, first kiss only happens on your wedding day, right? But anyway, you lean in and it's like, oh, what's gonna happen? Is she gonna duck away? Is she gonna reject me, or is she gonna receive it? And so imagine this moment. The leper comes to Jesus and asks, if you're willing. Mark says that he's kneeling. Luke goes even further and says that he fell on his face. It would indicate that there's no eye contact going on. There's humility. There's this fear of rejection going on. You can almost hear the somatic movie playing in the background, the deep tones of this moment. His head's down. Time is standing still for him. What is Jesus going to do? How is he going to respond? Will he acknowledge my request, or will he move on? When I raise my head up, am I going to be sitting on this curb, on this corner, wherever the situation occurred, all by myself? That silence, man, that silence had to feel like forever. And in that moment, Jesus, fully God and fully human, is deeply moved. Look at it, verse 41. Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and he touched him and said, "I will be clean." Some translations use compassion. Some even use the word angry. Jesus, caring for humanity, made in the image of God, is emotionally stirred because the effects of sin and brokenness upon humanity. Jesus is angry at what sin does to people and the result of sin and the wake of sin that it leaves in people's lives. Angry that the person made in the image and the likeness of God is being destroyed outside and in. Jesus gets angry because it isn't how it should be. He's moved, and so thankful that there's going to be a day. Revelation tells us that there'll be no more tears, there'll be no more sorrow, that there'll be no need of the sun, because the glory and the radiance of God will be that for us. It's going to be awesome. This is a powerful moment, Jesus being moved. All a leper knows is the silence of this moment. The leper has to be thinking, "I know I shouldn't have came. I knew I'd get rejected again." Rejected, ashamed, feeling a failure. The silence has to be deafening. But it's broken. And it's broken not with words, but it's broken with a touch. Broken by the last thing a leper would expect, a touch. Don't underestimate that. I wonder what that touch meant to the leper. I wonder how long it had been since he felt a hand upon his shoulder or upon his forearm, or maybe it was on his hand. Jesus grabbed his hand. Maybe he put his hand on his head where part of his ear was missing. Or we don't know how long it had been since he felt that touch, but that in itself is absolutely huge. In fact, the University of Miami Research Institute found with touch, with moderate pressure, stimulates a cranial nerve that slows down the heart rate, lowers blood pressure. It produces a state that is more relaxed and more attentive. Touch also reduces stress hormones and enhances the immune function within our body. It's the power of a touch. You don't touch a leper, though. It would make you unclean in that day. It would expose you to the disease. Think about it. How long had it been since he had felt that hand upon his own skin? He experienced the love and the power of God, all wrapped up in a touch. And Jesus said this, moved with pity, verse 41, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I will be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. Jesus could have healed him just with a spoken word. He had done that a number of different times. Jesus was moved, though, because he cares and he loves people. Romans 5:8 tells us that, but God shows his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world. Jesus was moved because he cares, because he loves. Jesus moves in our life because he cares for us, because he loves you. Jesus is willing. He's able to overcome our brokenness and our messes. So I want to just encourage all of us to come to Jesus. The passage takes a hard turn, a quick turn. Look at it, verse 43, as we head to the landing. This morning, as Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priests and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for proof to them. But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter. Sternly charged. It's a very strong phrase in the Greek language, which the scripture was written in. This is like Jesus grabbing the guy by the cheeks and saying, hey, I need you to do something for me. I need you to go to the priest and do what Moses has asked you to do. I don't need you to go out and tell everybody about what I did for you. First, go to the priest. Go do what Leviticus 14 says to do. Don't tell anybody about it right now. Go to the priest so that you can be reintroduced to society. But the leper doesn't do that. Jesus doesn't want to be misrepresented that all he's about is healing, because he came to seek and to save that which is lost. Jesus isn't surprised by what this man did because he's God. It's interesting, though, when you look at the account, it says that because of the leper's action, Jesus is now the one who is moved to the desolate places. And when you started today's message, it was the leper who was familiar and from the desolate place. It was the leper who couldn't enter town openly, and now Jesus couldn't do that. Jesus, being fully God, was willing to take the leper's place. Jesus is willing to take your place. And friends, Life Point, Valleys, wherever you're watching from, that is the gospel. That God came to our place to take our place so that we can go to his place. He who knew no sin became sin for us. Jesus is willing. He's willing to step into your silence with his touch. He's willing to heal your brokenness and your infirmity. He's willing to restore you to right relationship with the Father. Jesus is willing in this moment and in your situations. Nothing's too big, nothing's too hard for him. Do what the leper did. He stepped to Jesus, and Jesus stepped to him. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your grace. Lord, you know everyone who is watching this message right now. God, you know what you're speaking to their heart. You know where they find themselves in this passage of Scripture. God, I pray for the one this morning that has allowed maybe their past decisions or past brokenness to become a barrier to stepping to you. I pray that they would have the heart of the leper, and they would move towards you, Jesus. And as they move towards you, they would know that you're meeting them right where they're at, to do what only you can do in their life. Restore it, heal it, mend it, give them salvation. Lord, I pray for those that may be listening this morning, and God, they just need to sense your presence. They need to sense your touch. It's not that they've done anything wrong. They just need to be refreshed in you. God, I pray as we step into a song of worship, God, that their hands would be raised. Lord God, that your Holy Spirit, that you would fill the room that they're in and just refresh them. Let them know that you're with them. God, let them know your provision, your grace, your sustaining power. I pray in Jesus' name.
This concludes today's message. Thank you for listening. We're looking forward to connecting with you very soon.